Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Hey, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another Friday night edition of Let's Talk Footwork. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another great show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Footwork is on the air. And tonight, y'all, we're going to get serious. I typically, as a talk show host, love to hide behind my guests. I love to narrate conversations and listen to other people's opinions about different topics, but tonight I decided to be transparent. I decided to stop hiding behind my guests and tonight talk a little bit about myself and my situation before I bring on my guests. Y'all, I think the title of the show, I titled it Harassment is Real. Truer words have never been spoken. And then we talked about this a little bit on other shows, but tonight I decided to go back a little bit and remind you all just how long I've been dealing with the harassment from the Fort Worth Police Department. Back in 2011, to be exact, February 28, 2011, Sherron Thomas, along with his three kids and a friend, were en route to dinner because it was the birthday of one of his children. That said, there was a van parked on Sherrall Street. When the friend arrived, they noticed the van. And the neighborhood, I guess the friend knew pretty well. So he saw the van to be something that stood out. He told Sherrall, "Did you notice that van up the street?" Sherrall told him, "Yeah, I saw it, but I'm not doing anything. I'm getting ready to take my kids out to dinner." So they all got in the car, and they left Sherrall's house. As Sherrall reached the corner, it is alleged that he rolled through the stop sign rather than coming to a complete stop. So the undercover van that belonged to the Fort Worth Police Department pursued him. And when he stopped, he was at the corner of Rosedale and Craven. If you're not familiar with that, that would be the corner of Interstate 820 going south in Rosedale. So when they pulled Sherrall Thomas over, Sherrall Thomas was told that he had a warrant. Sherrall was certain he did not have a warrant because nothing in terms of a ticket could he remember that could have turned into a warrant. Well, it would turn out that Sherrall had gone through Dow Worthington Garden and had been stopped because he had a TV visible to the driver, which I understand is something you can get a ticket for. So because he did not know that ticket had turned into a warrant, he assumed this was a bogus stop. So he challenged the stop, told him he did not have tickets, they assured him that he did. And at the point in which Sherrall, who was a man with only one leg, by the way, a young black man, again, he's in the car with his three small children and a friend. Sherrall Thomas asked the officer, "Can I take my children home?" which was literally around the corner, because he was saying, "If you're going to arrest me, allow me to at least get my kids home." Now, I'm not sure what the relationship to this young man that he was in the car with, I'm not sure, but I'm thinking in my understanding of the story, he did not know how long this was going to take. So he wasn't trying to inconvenience his friend. He was trying to get his kids back home so that he could then get an adult, you know, his sister, his mother, someone to come and save the kids. The police refused him that opportunity to go home. Sherrall then tried to call his mother, to ask his mother to come to the location and pick up the kids. The police then took the phone and threw it in the back seat. Sherrall made a very bad decision at that point. He was assuming because he had three small kids in the car, another passenger, what are they going to do, follow me home? He couldn't run, y'all. He had one leg. So Sherrall decided to try to make it home. Worst decision of his life. Sherrall and I apologize because this is the part of the story that's always troubled me. So knowing that the three children were in the back of the car, and this is an SUV, Officer John Romer is on the driver's side of the vehicle, and he alleges that he stuck his arm into the window to try to remove the keys from the ignition. And he alleges that that is the point in which Sherrall Thomas hit the gas, which then he says, "My arm was trapped in the window and I'm on the running board and I'm being drugged. So he began to shoot at Sherrall Thomas. Well, it would have it that after I did the second show on the shooting, and this was after they found John Romer to not really be responsible for Sherrall's death, that the family asked me to do a second show. That is when the guest, or not the guest, I'll take that back, the person who was in the car with John Romer, I mean, with John, y'all listen, let me rephrase this, let me back all the way up. The person who was in the front seat of the car was Sherrall Thomas. Was in the car, and that person said on the second show that it wasn't just Romer shooting into the car. It was multiple officers shooting into that vehicle that night. And it was only angels that protected those three children and the passenger as they shot at Sherrall Thomas. That said, the car wasn't even going that fast. And it ended up stopping just up the road on the access road of 820 South. So the passenger said on my show that he bailed out of the car when a bullet went through his pants leg. That said, y'all, that night, my life changed forever. I became the victim of Fort Worth Police Department's harassment. And when I say harassment, I mean everything they could do to me, they did, except arrest me. Now, I'm someone who's well over 21, who's never had any scrapes with the law. I've never been to a courtroom for doing anything in which you can go to jail for. I've never even had a traffic ticket. That's the truth. So when coming at me criminally was impossible, they decided to come at me civil. They drug me into Judge Lisa Woodard's court over on Miller Street and put an illegal lien on my property, which is still on there to this day. Did a whole bait and switch in the courtroom. Said we were going in there for one thing. Before we came out, they had cleverly done a switch. But they went and they filed the lien. So that's what stood, even though it had nothing to do with the home repair. So that's when I really began to realize this is serious. They can drag you into court if they want to, which really scared me. So from 2012 until 2020, I literally left my house fearing for my life because I didn't know what to expect. But y'all, before I left, they had begun to mess with my mail. They messed with my garbage services. They messed with my vehicle inspection. You name it, they did it. They lied to my neighbors. They blocked job opportunities. Listen, y'all, the harassment was so real. I was scared for my very life. I was followed across city and state lines, phones tapped. If you can imagine, this coming what appeared to be out of nowhere, because initially I couldn't even understand what had provoked it. I had people who, when I would leave my house suddenly, would pull across my driveway to block my exit when my street was completely free so that they could slow down where I was going, I guess so that they would have an opportunity to get in position to follow me. This happened for 7 years, y'all. And I thought naively, and this is before 2020, so when I say this is the years that I was away, I thought if I just leave my house. Now, remember, I'm in other locations trying to pay a house note because I'm being harassed. And I went to Dallas thinking, well, they're not going to bother me in Dallas. They only weaponize another police department against you. So I'm not sure what long tall tales they told Dallas, but Dallas pursued me. And when it got so bad in Dallas, I thought, well, I'll just go to Memphis where I grew up. The same thing. And I got to a point in which I decided to make a complaint with the congressman from Memphis. And I called that day desperate, y'all, for somebody to help me. And they told me they would see me that day. Who gets into a congressman's office the very day they call? But God would have it that that's what happened. And when I got there, God had three angels sitting there. And I was surprised that I'm getting three people who work for the congressman to take the time to see me. And initially, they didn't really know what to expect, so they told me I would get about 15 minutes. So en route there, I prayed, God, please let me remember everything. Give me clarity of thought. Let me be able to lay out this thing of exactly how it was. And about 15 minutes in, I'm realizing nobody has said time's up, so I kept talking. But one of the lead people in that office that day looked at the other two and said, she don't seem crazy to me. I said, crazy? Like, that was the first time I heard that term. Crazy, me? Well, I would find out that Fort Worth PD memos, paperwork, saying that I had dementia and Alzheimer's. Y'all, I'm a lot of things, but crazy ain't it? They literally had labeled me because I had sent repeated communications to the mayor, the city manager, the city council, saying I'm being harassed. Can y'all please make it stop? And nobody did. So I get labeled as crazy because I'm telling them that there's a problem. Well, lo and behold, there's a letter in there that says, let me call it a memo. It was either a memo or an email where one of the top ranking people with Fort Worth PD said, y'all, I don't know if this is an MHMR problem or an NPO problem. That's your neighborhood police officer. That was the first time, not even to my knowledge, because I didn't even know this memo was taking place, that they literally knew that something else may be going on. But guess what? They did nothing. They did nothing. So the NPO is still allowed to continue to do all of his little tricks, and whether or not they were knowledgeable, don't know. How many people were involved? Don't know. But we absolutely have determined that my NPO is involved. Saying all that to say, y'all, they did everything they could. They messed with my car inspection so that I could not get my car inspected, which left me vulnerable anytime I'm driving, that they could pull me over, because if you can't get your vehicle inspection clear, then that means your registration is out. So literally I had mail that was returned to the sender. Said this person doesn't live here anymore. I had people come onto my property and vandalize my property. I had my house broken into and things stolen from my house. And then they messed up the insurance claim. Yep. The same NPO lied after someone broke the meter off my water meter outside and ran up a $600 water bill. Now, granted, the water is turned off. However, he put on the police report that it was due to a broken hot water heater. Well, how can a broken hot water heater run up a $600 water bill when the water was turned off? But nobody challenged it. And when I did, IED basically said, hey, so, like, what's the problem? Like, were you responsible for the water bill? I said, they absolutely did try to make me pay for it. I said, but I had to remind Fort Water that I had provided them with everything they needed. The water bill had been paid to a zero balance. I was the one that asked them to put the lock on the meter. And yet, when someone broke it off, they said, you're responsible because you're the homeowner. And I said, how could that possibly be when I warned you all that there may be a problem? So let's just say back and forth with Fort Worth Water until they decided, you know what, you're right. We cannot hold you responsible for that water bill. However, if I had not fought back, I would have to have paid a $600 water bill that I had nothing to do with because someone who I believe is connected to the Fort Worth Police Department did that. So when I tell you, y'all, they've done everything they could do to disrupt my peace, they have. They track your movements. They make certain that they try to make you as uncomfortable as they possibly can. So, y'all, I think I talked the other week about what COINTELPRO is. COINTELPRO is something that they basically tell you is dead. They tell you it died in the 70s. Well, let me promise you one thing. It didn't die in the 70s. And not only is it alive, it's alive right here in Fort Worth, Texas. COINTELPRO is a series of covert, meaning not openly acknowledged or displayed. So it's basically a series of covert and illegal projects actively conducted by police aimed at surveilling, infiltrating, discrediting, and disrupting domestic American political organizations or anyone, I say, the downtown deems a problem. Y'all, I find that to be problematic. I find it to be problematic that the leadership downtown have decided that the only way they can carry out whatever it is that they're trying to do downtown, it's got to be where there's no opposition. And anyone who opposes, speaks out, challenges, they are smashed like a bug. Y'all, these people come for your livelihood. They try to suck the life out of you. They literally can cause a heart attack or stroke. I have found myself going to the hospital in Memphis thinking I was having a heart attack. Literally, my breathing was sporadic. My heart rate was elevated. My rhythm of my heart was off because I was so stressed out by what they were doing and the fact that there was no recourse. No matter who you complain to, nothing happened. Still to this day, nothing happens. Downtown pretends either everybody who complains about the police department is crazy, or they use the police department to be weaponized against you, to create such a level of being uncomfortable in this city that they want you to leave. They use CPS against people. How cool and evil can you be to use CPS as a weapon against people, lying on people, falsifying police reports, changing the narrative? The CIT department is a joke. What they do is not to help the mentally ill. They use it as a tool to basically use against anybody who speaks out against downtown. We've seen Jasmine Tate on social media talking about, since he's left Councilman Chris Nettle's office, how he's been arrested repeatedly, you know, how all types of things suddenly are different for him, for him now that he's no longer at the councilman's office. He said they call child support on him. All sorts of things they do to make your life miserable. Now, this is what I'm saying to you all tonight before I bring on my guests. Everybody ain't lying, Uncle, or people, police department. Everybody ain't lying. The stories are sounding so familiar. The stories are sounding so similar. But yet downtown leadership wants you to believe everybody's lying and everybody's crazy. Well, I've never been to a crazy house. I've never been, and that's, I'm not being demeaning, but my point, y'all, I hope you make, you understand the point that I'm making. I've never been someone who has been ever in a situation where my mental health was at question. But that's the jacket that they would put on you. Well, y'all, that's illegal. It's illegal to change narratives on police reports and slander people when you know it's not true. And so I say to anybody that lives in Fort Worth and you're a taxpayer, when the lawsuits begin to drop, don't feel like the people are wrong for suing the city for lack of money. The city is wrong. The city is the one that's wrong because these situations have been repeatedly brought to their attention and they have decided to do nothing. They pretend, as Maddie Parker said, we have the best police department in the country, which anybody who lives in Fort Worth knows that's not true. So my point tonight is to say I have every intent to sue, because under Maddie Parker, the harassment has gotten back to the level it was in 2011. And I'm just not going, I'm not the same Carrie that I was in 2011. In 2011, it crippled me in terms of just, I was fearing everything, but I'm not fearing anything today. I feel like I came here and I don't lay my life down for anybody to scare me anymore. It doesn't. So if that's the worst they got, know that karma will meet you exactly where you are meeting other people. But I hope the city rises up and realizes this is not what you want. I told this story before. They said a Jewish man, a very wealthy Jewish man, was once told about how the police was harassing someone they believed to be involved in illegal activity. And one person said to the Jewish man, I'm so glad they're doing what they're doing to him. And the Jewish man looked on in total disbelief, and he disagreed with them. He said, I disagree, because if what they're doing to him, they're allowed to do, eventually that same harassment will make its way to my door, because it'll start with the black man, and then it'll be the black woman, and it'll be the white woman, and then the white man, and then it will eventually make its way to me, is what he was saying. And I feel the same way. If the city does not stand up and continues to feel that it's okay that that certain people are singled out and harassed without cause, and no one says anything, eventually it will make its way to your door. The stories are starting to sound so similar. And that's not by accident. Y'all, one of the things I've repeatedly prayed about was that God expose, reveal, and uncover what has happened to me. And then I asked God to align me with other people that had been through the same experience. In 2011, I didn't know anybody that had the same story. I felt like I was on an island all by myself. There was nobody that I could talk to that understood. My family didn't understand. My friends were afraid. And I felt like I was all alone. But God gave me the strength to get through it. And today, I'm meeting so many people that are saying the same things happened to them. And it's almost like a playbook that they use. If this doesn't work, let's just do this. Let's just mess with their mail. Let's just mess with their garbage service. Let's just do such ridiculous and petty things that we give them no peace. We want your neighbors to think you're a bad person. We want your job to think you're a bad person. We want your bank to think you're a bad person. We want your grocery store, you know, to call us when you come in. You have no favorite places anymore because they make certain that your favorite place thinks you're a bad person. Well, I say to downtown Fort Worth and to the Fort Worth Police Department, what you're doing is illegal. And just as my song, my intro song always says, a change is going to come. Y'all, Memphis PD has one of the most ruthless police department. But guess what? They're being sued. Those five officers that killed Tyrese, they've been indicted. Their jail is called the Shelby County Jail. Shelby County Jail has had some war stories that people have told. Well, guess what? Ben Crompton, they're suing them too because someone died on their watch and there was video. So even though it looks like things ain't changing, I know God is behind the scenes working it out. Because, again, it's so many people with similar stories. So I just want the people of Fort Worth to know when the lawsuits start dropping, don't feel like the people are wrong for suing the city. Say the city was wrong for allowing their police departments to go rogue, for not checking their police officers. Chief Noakes is not doing that. He's doing everything but making them accountable. He's doing everything but being transparent with the people about what's going on with his police department. So, someone said a long time ago, the only thing downtown understands is lawsuits. So when you tried everything, and y'all remember, this has been going on with me since 2011. That's 12 years. I have done nothing but hope that it would go away. Well, one thing that's a certain is not just going to go away. So just know that in the coming weeks, in the coming days, there will be stories about people who have decided that suing for harassment is the only way that they felt this whole thing could be resolved. You cannot talk to Maddie Parker. You cannot talk to Chief Noakes. They have a closed ear. And the city council turns their head. So nobody is watching the fox. And he's just eating up all the chickens one by one. Y'all, they are literally trying to suck the life out of people. I feel bad for Jackie Craig. May she rest in peace. But Jackie Craig was given, I understand, $150,000. $70,000 of it went to her attorney. So how did she win? She was just given something before she died. But this had gone on for all those years. And literally they decided that $150,000 was all she was owed, knowing that she would have to split a lot of that with her attorney. So y'all, tonight I'm just going there because if you've ever been tired of being sick and tired, I am tired of being sick and tired. And I don't see an end anywhere in sight. I don't. I think this leadership has gotten off track. It's like a train that has derailed. It's off track. And y'all, you got to remember, Matty Parker has been in office about 2.5 years now. Before then, she was the chief of staff for Betsy Price and the entire city council. So that means she's been around City Hall for about 7.5 years. So my story ain't new to Maddie, because I've written the mayor a bunch of letters. I've written Dave Cook a bunch of letters. I've written the city council a bunch of letters. So my story ain't new. But under Maddie Parker, it's getting like it was in 2011. So if the only way they deal with opposition is to try to smash you like a bug, then the only way that people who speak truth to power and for order can deal with it is to sue. So I say to everybody who's been ever harassed by Fort Worth PD, now is the time to sue. Now is the time to sue. I think the lawsuit should start to come down like rain. I think that's the only thing that will make this stop. I'm going to introduce you all to my guest tonight. Tara Rice has a story to tell. She's been on before as we told the Jalen Rice story, but her story has only gotten worse. So tonight, she's going to tell you all about some of the harassment that she has experienced at the hands of the Fort Worth Police Department. So good evening, Tara. How are you?
I am good.
Great. Tell us a little bit, for those who just heard my story, and that's just a snippet of it, y'all, I promise, because if I told you the whole 12 years, we'd be here all night. But I've talked to Tara on many occasions, and her story is so similar to mine. Tell them some of the things that you've experienced.
Well, since 2019, since Alex Kilm has came into office, my son, Jalen Rice, has been an advocate of the justice system. I'm very open about his mental health. But because a lot of Fort Worth officers because I started speaking out against the injustice and seeing what they were doing was so wrong. You can't take someone's mental illness, literally mental illness, and use it against them in a way to harm them. Mm-hmm. And that's what they have done. And he was not even supposed to be certified as an adult, and they did it anyway. I was even arrested, and I went to city council to talk to Maddie about me being arrested, And the IAD complaint came back and shown that the officer did not have probable cause to make the arrest. However, my son still has a ticket out there in Fort Worth standing to this day based on a lie. Carrie, where do you want me to start? Because it's a lot.
Just wherever you wanted to start.
Okay. So they try to get you in a situation where they can arrest you. Like, for example, Carrie's not making this up. And when Jasmine Tate posted the stuff on his page, Carrie called me like, look at that. And I said, everything. They messed with your bank account. This week I was in Target. And my car was declined. And they said to me, and normally you can just go in there and just, get a text message, yes, I block it. No, I had to send them a copy of my picture ID. And a couple of weeks ago, I do a lot of business with Goodwill because I like their car. I was in there. I was in the store, minding my business. And I was going to buy these chairs, but I chose not to because they were a little overpriced. So I went to the front, and I picked up a couple of things that were no more than $5. Gina, the manager, comes over to me, comes over to the cash register, the cashier. The cashier is so confused. I never seen this lady. I never even had bad contact with her. She said, we can't sell to her. And I said, excuse me? And even the cashier was like, what, you know, she didn't even know what's going on. And she said, we can't sell to her. The police is on the way. And I said, so immediately, because of the things I have experienced with them, all it does is take one lie, and it's your word against theirs.
Mm-hmm.
It's your word against theirs, and the police officer, the Fort Worth PD will fabricate something. But let me fast forward. Halston City Police Department, they're real complicit with it.
Mm-hmm.
Halston City is really bad with it. In CPS, Cooks, I have probably about 30, probably over that, 50 names of people who were elected in office, people that hold badges, people that hold degrees and they hold certifications to take care of us. And because we, you know, you're just a regular citizen, who's going to be more credible, them or you?
Mm.
So they're going to believe them. I have had CPS called on me over 20 times since last August.
Mm-hmm.
In an effort to try to take my children from me, to shut me up. But I'm with Carrie. I'm sick of it. I mean, my sister is being harassed. I can't talk to my family because the things that have happened. And, you know, when I went to Columbus and I found out the city of Fort Worth Police Department, the chief, he's from Columbus. And I moved to Columbus just to escape it. But instead, their police department was just as complicit. And then,
let me pause you for a second. So just in this brief time she's been talking, can you see the similarities in the story, in our stories, how they'll use stores or places you visit to make you uncomfortable, how they use other agencies to harass you as well, how she had to move several times. Do y'all see how that's working? But anyway, Tara, I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm just going to bring that to their attention. I've noticed that.
They take your money. They try to isolate you, which is no problem with me because I don't mind being by myself. I don't mind, but their CPS went to court and was lying. Judge Alex Kim, and I'm going to say this, he threatened me several times that I'm going to take your kids. I'm going to take, mess up your daycare. Basically, everything I was going through, try to embarrass me, try to get a reaction out of me.
Mm-hmm.
I have been locked out of my home, and I kid you not, 8 times by 8 different landlords. Mm-hmm. And my stuff has been stolen by Fort Worth PD.
Wow.
I lost everything. And don't get me wrong, because I would put this on the record. I would do it all again just to be able to look at myself. I lost everything just trying to be the voice behind my son and speaking up against what was right. I lost everything. I mean, when I tell you literally everything, I mean, I have lost 4 cars over the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
They towed my car. Now they're making it so I can't even get a car.
Mm-hmm.
So my sister's, her mail's being messed with now. They went over to her Halston City, walked the day my son signed a plea deal, which he's sitting in TDCJ right now. He's not supposed to. My other son, his name is Javier Rice. He had a court day and they purposely scheduled it on the 23rd of February. And when I was in at Kimbo, I kept saying, I think I hear my name being called. Well, get back to my sister's house, my son and my nephew's there. And I'm told the police walked up in that house because he didn't expect him to be there. And then I get the call report. Whew! And they have people lying, saying that my kids look sick. Mind you, my kids were not even there. My two youngest daughters weren't even there. It's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot. And you know, just for speaking up what's right. You can't abuse your authority like that in a way to harm an individual. That's not right. And my son, who was 16, he was locked up. He was locked up for 96 days in Kimba, Tarrant County Juvenile Justice System. And you know what? He just don't like you. Why would you? What? What? And I mean, complete lie. Complete lie. Why would you try to hold a child when this has nothing to do with the child?
Let me pause you for a second. So, y'all, again, a similarity, how they use the court system against you. You see how that works? How they can manipulate the court system to, you remember how I told you they drugged me in Lisa Wooders' court and how she did the bait and switch on the bench and made it look like it was about a loan. Well, he first went in and said it was about home repair, and then 30 seconds later he came back and said it was about a loan. So she let the loan stand. However, on the paperwork, it showed that he'd done a home repair. So they were able to put a lien on my house based on what he wrote, even though when he came in court, he made it about a loan. You see how that works? But anyway, carry on. I'm sorry. I just had to make the point.
Well, that means to say it's a lot. I'm noticing the trend, okay, because this today, I got a call. I mean, not today. Yesterday, I got a call. I'm sitting minding my business as I usually do. And the insurance company calls me and says, I'm calling about the water leak from Windsor at Legacy. That's in Plano. And I said, I'm sorry. They said water damage. And I said, there was no water damage. And they said, well, that's why we're calling to get your side. They sent us pictures and everything. And I said, are you serious? It was on April the 11th. So the reason why that day stands out to me is because at 8 o'clock at night, I received a knock from a maintenance man, okay? I did not open the door, but he proceeded to come in thinking I was not home. And he said, there's a water leak. I said, there's no water leak. There's no water leak. And I told him just that. I was not disrespectful. I was not, you know, I just told him that. I said, there's no water leak. And so, lo and behold, 10 minutes later, the police comes knocking at my door. And I didn't open the door because from this situation, I try to avoid all interaction with the police. I stay home because going to Fort Worth, literally, me and my children are in danger because of the lies that people decide to believe. They're false. Fort Worth PD has told them we criminals, I'm sick, I'm on drugs. I'm not neither. And I don't betray to be. All I am is a loving, caring mom that wants the best for her children. But you know what's so sad is that we got officers and people in power breaking the law, but they're supposed to give punishment out. That is what's sad. And how you gonna manage criminals when you are the criminal? I don't get it. And then for Maddie to go to Cook, and every time I have brought my daughter Jordan in, my daughter Jordan has a stomach issue. She can't go to the bathroom, and she's been like that since the baby. But I took her to Cook, and they called CPS on what I was bringing her for. And I said to them, I said, how is that medical neglect if I'm taking her for the issue? So fast forward, CPS is at my door several times. Gary Hill, who works for CPS, he tried to convince, he had the daycare call CPS, but let's say that. And the daycare lied and said that I was calling Jordan a boy and that it's Park Vista in Keller, Park Vista Chapel Center, yeah. So I was calling Jordan a boy, and she came in there with a busted nose and a dirty diaper, okay? And, you know, nowadays they have apps, okay? So I'm going back. I'm like, nah, I know I'm not. I know that didn't happen. So I asked him to pull the camera. I was talking to a lady. She's trying to comfort me, saying that they didn't call CPS and we would have had to report it to licensing. Come to find out, Gary showed up at my home on Sunday and said to a minor that I'm going to take your sisters from you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to lose custody of my sisters, other sisters. So it's so much. My son was having a mental health episode last August, and he was supposed to take, the officers were supposed to take him to JPS to be evaluated. I get a call a couple of days later that allegedly I tried to shoot my son in the head. I threatened to shoot my son in the head. And I said, excuse me? And he said, I said, if I threatened to shoot my son in the head, then why in the hell would y'all send this boy back to my house? It's your mm-hmm. job to protect him. Why would CPS send this boy back?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you mean to tell me you kidnapped my son because you took him somewhere without my consent? He's not even really talking to the police. In a very vulnerable mental state.
Mm-hmm.
And you took a statement?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of taking him to JPS? That is kidnapped.
Can I jump in? It wasn't just a statement, y'all. They had him write out a statement in the middle of a mental episode. In the middle of a mental crisis, they took him to, not to the hospital, but to a police location and had him write out the statement before they took him to get help. Is that the way it went here?
They didn't even take him to get health care. He was at Hempfield where the CIT building said they got it's called the Underground Railroad for minors.
Oh.
And they told me that everybody knew about this statement but me, okay? CPS knew, officers knew, everybody knew, okay? And I don't know if y'all familiar with the law in Fort Worth, though. I mean, it's how they do it out here in Texas. All mm-hmm. it does is take a lie on a statement that's signed, and they will arrest you.
Wow.
And I know that because my son is sitting in PDCJ right now based on hearsay. They had nothing to back it up, but he's still sitting there, and I'm still fighting to this day. But just by me bringing awareness to certain situations, every landlord I had would tell me to come. They would tell me to show up when my car got towed. She was like, "Come up here," and I told her, "I ain't going up there. I don't do that." You know, they tell you they want you up there because why would I come up all the way from Fort Worth from Plano to Fort Worth for what?
Mm.
So, she wanted me. She was trying to provoke me, and I said, I even had the landlord at the Windsor Legacy tell me, can you come up here and talk about a water leak? I said, what water leak? Send this to me an email. And she wouldn't send it. And then Well, my son's court date was abruptly switched on April the 11th. They was trying to distract me. She said that she was coming over there for a lock. No, she said she was coming over there for the lock. She called me and said she was coming over there for something. But then she switched it up in an email and said she was coming over there for the lock. I said, we never had that discussion. I mean, it's just that, you know, it is by all means, this is settled. Like my income tax, I still have not even got that yet. They will stop your money. They will stop your, my tax return has not even been, I don't even know where that tax, I can't even find her number now. And then my son has had a disability since the age of 2. Documented, okay? Documented. Why? And he even has an adult diagnosis. They had him, they had a doctor sign off and say he's not disabled.
See?
They even did his hearing for his disability hearing. They did it in Green Bay. Why am I not aware? They took me completely off of everything without me. I didn't tell them to. I didn't, my knowledge, nothing. And they sent him, his mail to Green Bay.
Let me pause you. Now, y'all, listen. We're not talking about just any disability. We're talking about a mental disability that has been well documented and diagnosed. But now all of a sudden, he's being they're saying that he doesn't have the disorder that, I mean, this diagnosis that he's had for years. And, you know, he's been medically treated for it for years. So you see how that works? Just all of a sudden, out of the blue. But anyway,
they removed me for everything because as a pay, if you guys know, in Social Security, as payees, you're supposed to be notified on everything. Y'all both were notified, regardless of them turn 18 or not. I was never notified of any hearing. I didn't even get any mail about that. And then all of a sudden, they say that I got addresses from all the way back in Ohio. I mean, they stopped my daycare. For months. And they didn't have a reason to, but they said I was transferring, right? I was transferring, and they said that we're going to end care here and we're going to switch it to Plano. Well, lo and behold, they couldn't do that, and they stopped my daycare. And then when I was complaining, see, there's the problem when you get people that play along, then they want to back out and act like it ain't happened. And want to close it. When I called the lady, her name was Leshana, and with CCMS in Tarrant County, she said, I'm going to go ahead and close. When I start telling her everything they were doing, I said, if you want me to get stability for my children and my family and you care, why not put them in care so I can get a job?
Mm-hmm.
And when I start, I said, so you mean to tell me, and I have to talk to them like that. So you mean to tell me I can work with my kids in my care all the time? I don't know but they want you. But then they try to create this narrative that's not even true. You have to move out because your landlords are harassing you.
Mm-hmm.
Your
mm-hmm.
landlords are harassing you. Your neighbors mm-hmm. are harassing you. You can't even go meet people in person because you don't know if they're going to. It's a lot. It's a lot. But I'm tired and I'm taking it. I'm going for everybody. Everybody from the CPS and Cooks. For O'Hare, Tim O'Hare, for you to have county clerks in the office who. I'm calling about my son's case because he wasn't given his back time, right? Mm-hmm. And Kelly in the office at the 213th District Court, she says, I said, well, Kelly, he was supposed to get all his back time. And she and I said, I have it right here. I have all the documentation. She said, okay. She was like, well, he's only going to get what I gave him. That's what he's getting. And she and I said, and so let me back up. She told me, she said, are you going to listen to me? Because if you're not going to listen, I'm going to hang up. I said, excuse me? And she told me, I said, well, Kelly, if you're correct, you won't hear from me again. But if you're not, I'm going to follow up. She said, it's not going to change. I said, okay, Kelly, you have a great day. That is the, Kelly has been the one in Tim O'Hare's, under Tim O'Hare, who picked me out of the, I was just there asking questions about my son's court, Jalen's court date, because they switched it when I sent the email that morning. They canceled it. They pulled him off the docket. And then the bailiff, who was way above his pay grade, says he don't have court this morning. And in the, they're talking to you like they know you. And I have to let them know, you don't know me. You know of me. And mind you, Adrian got a memo. I always told Terry, I promise we on that blacklist. Because when we go places, people will stare at us as if they know us. Mm. And they will already form opinions about us like they know us. But you, based on what Fort Worth PD has told them.
Mm.
And I have to, but and you know, I treat everybody kind. Treat everybody kind. But if you, you know, and I learned they will try to provoke you. For example, Gary was at Walmart. And they tried to, and I said, they would try to do things purposely to provoke you to get you to go off. And even Kim out, had CPS show up, say, you're being evicted, you're being this, you're being that, and you, your rent's not paid. And I said, that's not true. Even had CPS come over and do a search of my home. And then was told, you're right, he's not, and then he, whoo! He released my, because he did not like me because Kim is a control freak and he likes control and he likes to feel he's in power. So he said, I'm not going to release him to you, but I will release him to someone else.
Yeah.
Mind you, I have a home. My son's not in danger. But he don't release them to me because he doesn't like me. But he released them to my daughter's dad, who does not have any interaction with Javier. Not it's not even his stepdad. They have no relationship at all. Even allow him to sign a legal document, which is his school record, to be released from jail. He can't even sign for him. That right there. So it's a. So because of it's all about power. We want power and we're gonna make you a slave to the system until you listen to us. And then and this is what I need people to think. If it wasn't true about what people were saying about them, then why would they care so much? Why would you have to lie on a citizen? I'm just a law-abiding citizen. I don't mess with no one. All I do is just want to be a loving mom to my children, which I have not been able to be a loving mom, but my kids are being victimized because of Tarrant County elected officials and the city of Fort Worth police officers, as well as other Charleston City. So I say this to say, I filed a claim with Victims Compensation, okay? And I'm gonna file that, and I'm gonna file many. I'm over it. I'm with Carrie. I'm done talking. I don't want to talk. If you go, I'm gonna give you this example. If you go rob somebody, right, and you show up with them. And the person that you're with them, the plan is not to pull the trigger, but they pull the trigger and they kill the person on at the counter, then guess what? You are just as guilty as the person that pulled the trigger. So that goes to show, that goes to say, when you are knowledgeable about what your staff and what your people amongst you are doing, then you are just as guilty. Because it does not take much to stand up. Stand up for what you believe in. Stand up for what's right. But you don't hurt children. And you don't try to destroy families. They have tried to destroy my family, turn my sons against me. So I only know what Donnie B is going through. It's not, and then they use people like Cooks to keep calling CPS. So much so where they, Cook said, if you don't trust us, you don't need to come here anymore. I said, by all means, you're right, I don't. Because when I pulled up, I had to document everybody's name all the way down to the valet people who was dealing with me. Because if CPS was called, then I'm going to want to narrow it down. They
let
all
me pause
start
you
doctor.
Let me pause you for a second. Now, imagine me in 2011 going through similar things like this. I just didn't have children involved. And nobody to talk to. Because nobody I knew had been through anything like what I was talking about. So I would be talking to people with tears in my eyes, stressed out beyond anything I'd ever been through, only because I spoke out. That's it. No crime. Didn't kill anybody. Didn't rob anybody. But just because I did two shows on a Fort Worth Police Department murder of Sheralta. That's it. And so for that, they decided that I will disrupt your life. I will make you penniless. I will have you so scared that you will move repeatedly to keep you unstable in terms of your living arrangements. You, because if you don't find peace here, you think, well, okay, well, what I'll do is I'll move here, because obviously, you know, those people over there are going to bother me, so I'm just going to go over here, and then they're not going to bother. And then to find yourself in the same situation, which, of course, is undermining your financial stability, because you're losing money every time you're moving, and you're paying, like in my situation, to be away from my home. Still my homestead, paying mortgage and taxes and everything else, but I wasn't able to live in my home. So, again, they want you penniless. They want you afraid for your safety, so keep you moving. They want to hack into all of your personal business and make certain that they know everything about you, but they do it, you know, like keyboard bullies. You know what I'm saying? They literally are messing with every aspect of your life, and you have no recourse. And so you call downtown or you go downtown and you complain and you say your police officers are doing this, and everybody downtown looks at you like you've got, like, you know, three heads or something. Like, you know, that couldn't possibly be true. Well, do you think in reality that's the first time, the second time, the third time, or the fourth time they had heard that officers were doing those type things? Of course not. But every time someone goes down there and tells them that their police officers are a problem, they pretend it's the first time they've ever heard it. That means they're complicit. The downtown David Cook, who's been there since 2014, Maddie Parker, who's been there a good 7.5 years, Gina Bivens, who's been on there a long time, Carlos Flores, long time, you know, Chris Nettles and Derek Williams, Elizabeth Beck, they've been there 2.5 years now themselves. So you think that's the first time, the second time, the third time they've heard that these officers are misbehaving? Probably not. So what recourse does the average person have? The police chief has put together a board, you know, of people he handpicked who are probably, a lot of them, receiving CCPD funding or have some incentive to go along with whatever the city decides is right to do, or whatever the city wants to do. And so you have the Office of, what is it, Police Oversight Monitor, and we know that they're on the city payroll, so how much can we expect from them? We saw Kim Neal was there for a minute, and what did she get accomplished? Nothing. Paid well, but she didn't accomplish anything. So you got your gatekeepers downtown who think they're doing a service to the city by harassing people like Reggie Garner did me. So, y'all, they have weaponized this whole city against the people. So just wherever you go, we want you to feel like you are not supposed to be here. So what do you do? Get up and move again. Because, you know, they're making you feel uncomfortable. They're trying to block job opportunities, trying to mess with all of your affairs. Everything they can do, they do. And a lot of this stuff is illegal, y'all. I mean, harassing you on Facebook, all these types of things, removing posts or pretending to be buyers if you're posting on Marketplace. All of this stuff is illegal, but this city allows it to happen, and they turn their head when somebody brings it to their attention and acts like the police department. Then this person must be crazy if they're saying this good.
Can I say this, Carrie?
Go ahead.
And this is what I've noticed. It all, before I can even prove it, and before COVID, it's something political. Everybody is getting a bribe.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to be in the attorney firm forever. They want to move up. And I always ask Steve, well, what is the bribe? Who promised you something? For some reason, insurance money is always coming up.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. I think like in the case of that attorney, you got to realize that he's going to have cases downtown. So if he does maybe what they want him to do, then, of course, maybe he gets an easier ride when he takes up in the court.
And that's what I was trying to say, yes. So it's like everybody has to, they have different political aspirations they want, and then the regular just law-abiding citizens that join in, right? What is the incentive for them harassing us? For them
CCPD funding? The CCPD funding be put on a board,
right.
Be recognized as somebody
a board that's not the correct name. Somebody sit on the board, Maddie Parker, remember? What's his name? Leon Merritt?
Yep, under an alias. Put him on the board under an alias.
And then pull him, scratch him like he... scrubbed him off as if he wasn't there once he got arrested.
That part. So, y'all, it's so many things that they're doing that there is no other recourse other than to sue, because when you – who you going to tell? I mean, we saw Fitzgerald go tell the FBI. I filed an FBI complaint on Reggie Garner for what he did. I'm still waiting on him to get back with me, y'all. And somebody told me, Carrie, I think you ought to file with the Fort Worth Police Department. And we all know where that's at. We all know. But the FBI, a report has been filed on Reggie Garner for what he did.
Keep in mind, I don't mean to interrupt you, Carrie. When you call the Fort Worth PD, right, they don't come. My number has been put on a block list. It goes to an automated system. And one day I'll say, I wouldn't call Fort Worth PD or if I was getting held at gunpoint. That's how much I don't trust. I'd rather protect myself than call them to my home.
But let me interject right here. Let me interject right here. Now, this is going to scare y'all because it scared us. I had a situation in which I had a problem with a neighbor. I tried to resolve it without getting the police involved, and it was not. I couldn't. He put a fence up on my property. I asked him to take it down. And I guess because he knew that I had problems with Fort Worth PD, he's thinking, what are you going to do? So I stood in my backyard and tried to call 911 and the call kept being diverted somewhere else. Tara, did you not have a similar situation where you tried to call 911?
I did, and then I tried to call two other people, and it was being the phones never go to voicemail. Never go to voicemail.
But you couldn't get the call to even go to 911. See what I lose there? Oh,
yeah,
Tara.
I'm here. But no, it.
That's a little girl.
It couldn't even dial 911. And then I look out my window one day, and it's, mind you, Fort Worth PD never showed back up to my home. They never even came out to my home. But they're driving around my home by little lurking. And then the landlord, forgot about, there's a lot. I have it all written down. I have documentation. I have everything I'm saying and Carrie saying, we can back it up.
And see, you got to realize, so we're literally saying we were in a situation that could have been, like, let's just say my neighbor he was getting testy. And for my safety and to make sure that I didn't get to a place in which I felt like I was going to have to defend myself, I thought the best thing to do is call the Fort Worth Police Department. And y'all, I literally stood in that yard calling 911 probably 10 minutes. And every time I tried to get it to go through, the call went somewhere else. So my point to say, if anybody's confused about, well, what happened? Why didn't it go through? If they're on your phone line, y'all, if they're listening to your phone calls, do you not know that they know when you're calling 911? So the call just never was like trying to go through it. I just kept putting it through until I finally got someone on the phone. And y'all, this story can be backed up. I had Malik come over that day because I was afraid the neighbor was going to get me in a situation where the police was going to side with him, and I didn't have anybody else to say they saw what happened. So Malik, Brother Malachi, and another member of the Brotherhood came out that day and saw the whole situation so that I would have some witnesses if it ever came to a situation where I was going to need someone to back up my story. And thank God they came out. I really appreciated it. But, yeah. And so y'all don't realize this should not be happening. We're not talking about, some gang member on the street. We're talking about gang members with uniforms on, with badges and guns.
And elected officials.
I'm just
people that we are supposed to make the best decision for our children, for us.
Mm-hmm.
And they are abusing their power and using it in a way that harms people. So,
and y'all
got to destroy families.
Y'all gotta,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Y'all got to realize, too, they block your effort. And, again, I've had it done to me many times, but I heard the little gray-haired white man named Bob Willoughby tried to put a billboard up going into downtown Fort Worth, and they blocked it. So y'all don't understand. They will block your stuff. They will block as much about you moving forward, progressing, anything that challenges the city leadership, they block it. And so y'all got to understand there's no other recourse. There's no way to address.
Then
you can't go to city
then
council.
Then you have doctors like MHMR who are playing along with it. JPS, Cooks. They're because when you go to court, they're an expert witness. They're supposed to tell the truth, right? So their lawyer is going to be, they're going to believe whatever they say. Because they have
that should be. I mean, and I'm going to say
is very
this
is scary.
It is very scary. And y'all, listen, I am to the belief now, just on my personal experience. No one else, you all can continue until you find out for yourselves, but I'm speaking of my personal experience. I do not even trust local hospitals in Fort Worth. I feel like that's a quick way to die. I'm just saying.
Do I.
Can weaponize everybody else against activists or outspoken talk show hosts or writers, then, you know, is a hospital safe? You know, I went to a restaurant the other day, and I planned to call the owner, Mexican Inn, and I could just as sure tell that they had told that security guard something. And the thing is, it's sad because now I will not eat in another Mexican Inn. So, and anybody that I know, I'm going to tell, I don't think you ought to eat at Mexican Inn because of the experience that I had there. Well, they don't even care if they cost that business money. They don't care. They just want that business to make you uncomfortable while you're there. Well, that's not smart for the business owner, but you don't know what they told them. You see what I'm saying? And so it's sad that they will go to whatever extreme measures they have to go to make you uncomfortable. But what made me uncomfortable the most was thinking, well, is the food that I'm buying here safe? Well, if they can convince them that I'm a bad guy, do they know somebody in the kitchen? Will they tell somebody in the kitchen to, you know, something in my food? So this is the level that they're going to disrupt your lives. But at the same time, and I don't even think it's about being paranoid. If anybody said, well, that sounds like being paranoid.
No, it's not. It's really happening.
We still don't know what happened to Thomas Earl and Kazi. But I was told that Thomas went to dinner that night, and we know the next day Thomas died. So when you notice things out at certain places, I feel it's not safe to go back. Because if I got to worry about, you know, can the police influence this restaurant to, you know, give me bad service, can they also influence the restaurant to put something in my food? And so, you know, Mexican Inn has several locations, but I went to the one on Lancaster, but I will never go there again because I just now I don't feel comfortable. And I meant to call the owner today and tell them about my experience, but I got distracted and I didn't. But that should never happen because Fort Worth Police Department should not be contacting businesses when they know that they're not dealing with a criminal. They know that the person has not been involved in any criminal activity. You know, that's not right. And it's a way in which they can weaponize a business against you. But at the same time, I feel bad for the business because I'm not certain what you can tell a business to make them complicit in some form of harassment, but they're able to do it. And shame on Fort Worth, shame on the Fort Worth Police Department, because that shouldn't happen. That should never happen. But just like Tara said, when she went into the store, the lady said, you know, we're not going to sell to her. Based on what? You know, if she had stolen something, then she should have been, you know, asked, you know, can I see your purse or whatever? But nothing like that was ever said, was it, Tara? If they feel like you've done something.
She came to the front of the store. She said, we cannot sell to her. We can't sell. I said, why? She said, we can't sell. And I said, she kept saying, we can't sell to you. And I said, she said, the police is on the way, meaning Fort Worth PD. You can tell them when they get. I said, for what?
Now, granted, I would think if she had taken something, the lady should have asked for whatever that was. Why do you call the police on somebody, but you don't tell them what their crime is? And if she had taken something, they should have stopped her when she was exiting the door. But nobody stopped you when you left, nor that the police had not arrived.
I'm running out at the cash register. I'm at the cash register getting ready to pay. Getting ready to pay for my little items that I got.
Mm-hmm. But when you left, they didn't stop you from leaving.
Oh, no, they didn't. They didn't stop me from leaving.
You feel the same? So if it was about they thought you took something, they would stop you before you, ma'am, you can't leave until the police get here. But they didn't stop her from exiting the store. They didn't say you have something that belongs to her. That's how crime prevention, or what do they call it, the store prevention, whatever those detectives are. What is it called? Loss prevention?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, loss prevention is going to ask you to give them back their property before you leave the store.
Mm-hmm.
So it's on every level. This is out of control. Maddie Parker has, her relationship with the police department, in my opinion, is not healthy, because when you don't care what your officers are doing, if they're committing crimes or hurting people or harassing people, and you are the leadership of the city and you don't care, then that's a problem. That's a problem. And when people try to tell you, you don't want to hear it, and you shut them down and you send them away, or you pretend you're going to address it and you don't, and the chief, you know, you can't talk to him. So what choice does a person have? I say none, other than to sue.
Keep in mind that they will stop people from agencies that have grants. They will stop them from paying your money. They will interfere with that. They will interfere. They will stop them. People will be giving you a hard time. You'll be like, what did I do to you?
Now they shut down your income. Make sure you can't make any money. And then when you go to get the assistance, they try to stop the assistance from flowing your way. So, again, to try to destabilize the person and make them, homeless? Because what is the end game?
Oh, they have made me homeless. They have made me homeless several times. Several times.
See?
Over, and I'm not talking about since 2019. I'm talking about since April 2022. I was arrested on April 12th. They have, it backfired against it. I wasn't really out speaking about it. So it wasn't, I was only sending emails. But when I went public, when I said, I'm not going to stay down, and it backfired on them, and they went to go list me as a state witness, DA, William Knight, went to go list me at 7:56 p.m. to testify against my own son. And I'm in jail.
They want to portray the person as though there's somebody who's unstable, somebody who is not trying to better themselves, is not trying to be out in the workforce, despite the fact they're blocking jobs. Lost her job. You see how that works?
Lost my job. Insurance wouldn't even pay me the money.
See?
I had a high blood pressure. After I was arrested, that's when I developed high blood pressure because, it doesn't run in your family, but because of they put you under so much stress, it manifests in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Delphi? Everybody
in and then when you're down, let me say this, Sarah, I got to say this. When you're down, you will have CPS come in and say, can you go do a psychological evaluation?
Mm-hmm. That part, though.
They'll ask you to go to one of their doctors.
So once they have stressed you all the way out and know that they have hit your max, then they send CPS, they weaponize CPS against you, and then CPS says, can you take a psychological? Come on, y'all. Come
this
on.
Lady came
and
in.
They go to their doctor.
I was in a hotel.
See?
In between homes because of what Fort Worth he had. I was locked out of my home by the Wizard of Legacy.
Yeah.
And locked out. And what they did was they utilized Plano PD and said I was harassing them. When I'm asking for my stuff, I just went in there and said, where's my stuff? You didn't set it out. Locked me out of my home.
There you go.
And then CPS was called from somebody. It was called. They were called. And she comes to the hotel room. It's supposed to be a voluntary program. And she says, and I'm talking to her for no more than 5 minutes. She says, I think first thing I'm going to do is say you need to take a psychological evaluation. And I said, why would you say? And she said, if you don't, you know, first she was saying it was voluntary, and she kept saying, we're going to go to court, we're going to go to court, we're going to go to court. And I said, well, you know what, ma'am, I'm going to respectfully decline this. I'm not. Why would you ask me to do a psychological evaluation when you took my daycare? I got two sons in held hostage to the system. All these are going on. Do you think somebody is asking, why not stabilize me, which mind the CPS did not, they can offer child care and rental assistance? They did not.
The other word?
They kept lying. They kept being complicit in the lies. Lying. Even had a maintenance man. Taking a ritual reference from a maintenance man, allegedly, who I didn't see after they climbed up into the back of my balcony when I was in Kim's court, impact my house. Because I'm through the thermostat. I come home and my back door is wide open. So
y'all
I call the police, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Harassment is real. And the unfortunate part, y'all, is I don't know what kind of sick law enforcement agency would think that it's okay to do this. It makes no sense. It makes no sense that law enforcement would think that destabilizing a mother with two small kids is okay. But obviously the city manager, the mayor, the city council think that it's okay. And so when you complain to them, nothing happens, even to those that look like you. Nothing happens. And
they
so,
are babies. I won't will.
They play
their part. And
y'all, this is, and I'm going to tell y'all something, and I rarely tell this because it tears me up. When I was so afraid that I went to Memphis, that's where a lot of my family lived. They were so afraid for me and for themselves. I was afraid to stay with anyone. So someone that I really cared about and loved died and left me a $10,000 insurance policy. You know what I ended up doing? I blew through a $10,000 insurance policy staying at hotels because I was fearful of my family being harassed like I was harassed. So if you can imagine spending a year in hotels in a city in which you grew up and knew so many people, but I did it because I was fearful for them and I didn't want anybody else to be in the world. But I was going up. And it was the scariest time of my life. And I repeatedly was contacting the city's leadership, this time Betsy Price, and even, I have to say it, Fitzgerald, and was saying, listen, it started under Halstead, and saying, listen, can y'all make this stop? Can you make it stop? I even looked outside my hotel room one night, and it was an undercover car for Fort Worth PD in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that they had those driver's side window where you have the mirror, the side mirror. I noticed it had those double mirrors on it, and that stuck out to me. And so it was snow on the ground. I left my room with my cell phone in hand and went to take a picture of the license plate because they didn't have one on the front of the car. You know, in Texas, you're supposed to have it. But something said, go out and look at the back of the car. So as I was approaching the car, I took pictures of the front of the car. And then when I got to the back, do you know how surprised I was to realize that car had come out of Fort Worth? I immediately went back into the hotel room, got on my computer, sent an email to the mayor, the city manager, and the entire city council telling them and sending them pictures showing why is this car here? Why are they harassing me even in Memphis? Well, within 30 minutes, that car tore out of that hotel and never returned. So when she talks about hotels, y'all, I can relate to that. So all these stories, they're just too similar.
They're just too similar. They want to ruin your entire life. And so,
even if you shut up, they're still going to come.
Oh, yeah.
They are going to come. I even went in before Kim, because Kim, because the attorney at Albert Law Firm said, you're right, he just don't like you.
I went for eight
months. And you know, go ahead.
In 2012, I went for 8 months and didn't do a show, because I thought, well, maybe if I just shut up, they'll leave me alone.
Nope.
It didn't stop.
Yep.
Check the show.
Let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
Albert Law, they were there fighting for, you know, trying to really, for Javier. And then the DA said, she said, I want to talk to you in person. It's too much to email. Mind you, my son has never been in trouble before. Never even been arrested. They were giving him all kinds of charges. And then I start questioning, like, where is the petition? I have not seen this petition. He had different petitions than I did. And based off, I mean, but it's like these attorneys, they don't want to email. If you saying something right, they'll call you. Because I have had many phone calls say, you're making too much noise. And I said, no, I ain't making enough. They will call you. They don't like their dirt to be, what is it? They don't like leaving paper trail. What they fail to realize, they already left one. They already left one.
Wow.
They're so sloppy right now. They don't even care because everybody turned a blind eye to it. Everybody either getting CPPD money, and they turn a blind eye to it.
Mm-hmm. Yo, and I'm going to take your call in a second, 817-390. But, y'all, I want you to know that if you can imagine having a mortgage and struggling to pay a mortgage while you're paying for a hotel room in another city for fear. So I'm still homestead in my house because this is my only residence I've ever had since I moved here. And the other, they didn't
even
care.
And let me say this while we have, and it's not isolated. Because we all come from different parts of Fort Worth.
Yeah.
So it's not isolated. It is the police department. It's who we have in office. And we have, they're like, I don't know if they're the mafia, because they will destroy you. Like, it's like you shut up and they still come in.
That's right.
They still come in.
We're going to go to the phone lines, 817-390. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Hey, Carrie, can you hear me?
I can.
Hey, y'all. It's Lizzie. I was just calling in because I'm in complete agreement with what you guys are saying about the citizens of Fort Worth being harassed by the city leadership as well as the Fort Worth Police Department. And in fact, I called in because I have started to experience this myself.
Wow.
Here recently. And
yeah.
So Miss Carrie, when I tell you, I have been getting pulled over about every 3 weeks by Fort Worth police. And they give me tickets. They even, there was one incident where they pulled me over and stated that the reason why they pulled me over was for no other reason than the side of town that I was on. And I was like, am I being detained? And they were like, no, but do you care if we search your vehicle? And I said, absolutely. I said, I do care. And they said, well, why, if you don't have anything? And I was like, because you just said that I didn't do anything wrong. Like, so you have no probable cause to search my vehicle. And plus, you're not going to find anything in here. So come back with a warrant. But yeah, they've been giving me tickets. Just like literally for their speeding tickets, which, I mean, like it's crazy because I wasn't speeding, but they give me these tickets anyways. So when they pull me over every time, they're like, Miss Badgley, do you know you have these tickets? And I'm like, yeah, I know, I'm working on them. And but you could tell the way they – I'm going to start recording them, honestly, because it's getting to the point that when I try and talk about these things, it sounds crazy, right, that these police are going out of their way when we have gunshot victims and everything to mess with me because I'm an activist, to write me up for speeding is just crazy. They're just trying to make our lives difficult.
It does sound crazy to an individual that has not been through it, but that's why – You're not crazy, because you know how the state has their star witnesses? We are witnesses amongst each other's harassment and retaliation. And it all stems from people speaking out against the wrongdoing. All we do is go and ask to get help for it to stop. And it doesn't stop. It just amplifies. I even stopped my Facebook page and went before Judge Yalitzium and apologized. It didn't do nothing but bad. I tried to do what they wanted me to do. And they still
were
lying and trying to take my children.
And that's just what they wanted you to do, so they can laugh and mock us in our faces. Like, and I really hate that, Ms. Carey, because I don't feel like you owe them an apology at all in any kind of way whatsoever.
Okay. All I've done is done talk shows. I mean, I protested. As a matter of fact, Donnell Ballard was leading the George Floyd protest downtown, because I've known Donnell for long. The first night I went down there, and I never protested ever in my life, y'all. So I thought, this is cool. Let me just go down and see how this whole protesting thing works. And I was targeted. And, you know, I was, like, marching with everybody else, and one of the supervisors, I believe it was a sergeant, rides up next to me on his bicycle and tells on his radio them to watch the person who had the black and white checkered shirt on. Well,
let me tell you guys a story. So I here recently, within the last 6 months, we've been having a lot of issues going on within the Tarrant County Jail. There's been 52 inmates die in custody since 2019. So one thing a lot of people may not know is that on top of me being an activist, I also hold a security guard certification. And during like the winter time, I believe it was back in January, I found myself in a position where I just needed to take a couple of side gigs. Well, I ended up going to a security company, and they offered me a post at JPS IPA, which is the actual JPS inmate prison area. And when they offered it to me, I was like, wow, there's no way I want to work with a whole bunch of inmates. And then I was like, well, let me go see what's really going on up there, because I've been protesting this. See, they didn't know that. So I took the uniform and I proudly put it on and I went in there just to, you know, see what was going on. And my experience was very eye-opening. And honestly, I'm scared that I'm even talking about this on the air. But, hey, so this is what happened. I saw a lot of mistreatment that the deputies, in the way they treated specifically homeless people, as well as people who are struggling with mental illness and substance abuse issues, the way they talk to people. Well, somehow word got out, and one night I was told to go to the pavilion, which is, you know, how JPS has the main building and then they have the pavilion. Well, they told me to go to the pavilion, and I was to follow a corporal down there. So the corporal's leading me, but he's leading me through all these tunnels that I didn't even know existed inside JPS. You guys, this is a huge entity. They have tunnels in this hospital that I didn't even know existed, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners don't know. But he was walking really fast, and so I thought it was strange, but I, you know what I mean? I was like, So we ended up, after walking through all these tunnels, we ended up going outside, and he takes a left, a hard left, and I look over, And some feet ahead of me, there was a white sheriff van, and we are now outside. And I am on the street directly looking towards the Tarrant County Medical Examiner's office. And I said, wow, what is going on? And then next thing you know, I was approached by a deputy, and his name was Deputy Vaughn. And he said, Elizabeth, Jean, and I'm not going to disclose my last name on this radio show, but he called me by my full name, and it caught my attention. I looked up, and I said, can I help you, sir? And he was like, are you the front runner of an inmates' rights organization? And I said, actually, I was like, Deputy Bond, that's not what United My Justice is. And he said, well, then what are you? And I said, United My Justice is a peaceful protest Black Lives Matter group. Thank you very much. And he said, well, what would you want to do such a thing like that for? And I told him, I said, well, just say you're racist without saying that you're racist. And then I went on to tell him that we have all these issues in the community that we need more people to speak up and fight against. And so he basically went on, he was like, go to this room or whatever. But I immediately knew that they were sending me a strong message. That's why they led me out there by the medical examiner's office, which, by the way, I didn't know that's where the medical examiner's office was. So I went on and finished out my shift, and the next morning, the corporal, like the lieutenant from Vet Secure in America, called me on my cell phone and said, Miss Lizzie, are you going around telling people that you're a journalist? And I just started cracking up because I was like, they said I was a journalist? And I was like, yes, that means they're listening to me. And he said, oh, my God, you really are a journalist, aren't you? And I was, like, so happy because he went on to fire me, obviously. But I was like, yes, I got fired for being an activist. Yeah, but ever since then, they have not stopped messing with me. And I just love it because I love it that we're getting under their skin that much.
But you know,
and let me say this, because how do, go ahead, Kurt.
No, go ahead. I just said it comes with a danger, but okay.
It does come with a danger, but had I would have known what I know today, that my son's mental illness would have been taken and weaponized against him, I would have never, they were building a paper trail for my son for this day. My son was, he was on the mental health case, like they say he couldn't get it. They put him on bond, right? They want him to pay all these fees, right? But he can't get a job. He can't go to school. He can't do certain things. But we have MHMR who's inside the jail telling him that his medication gives him all these side effects, so he shouldn't take it.
Mm. Yeah.
And I'm, but it's weaponized against, and had I would have known what I know him today, I would have never got the police involved. Never. Because it was
terrible.
They used it to harm my child. Like right now, he's sitting in CDC day right now. He's not even supposed to be there. I have a recording for his from his attorney. His attorney, they'll keep passing it back and forth. It's your problem. It's the county's problem. The county said, no, call your attorney. Call the attorney. But, yeah, it's – and then they make them seem like they're a menace of society. I mean, not just my son, but I see a lot of individuals just by me going to the jail and visiting my son. It's a lot. It's a lot. And it seems like they're using the mental illness is being, it's not being used to help them. It's being as a weapon to harm them.
Well, absolutely. See, the thing is that the police are going on these calls where it's clearly a mental health issue. And if they don't shoot them, then they literally, a lot of times they escalate a situation and then beat these people who are clearly in crisis up, and then leave them to sit and rot inside the JPS IPA. It is really terrible the way they treat people inside of there. And
my son was given a psychological evaluation. And I don't mean to interrupt you, Elizabeth, but my son, they were given a psychological evaluation before he could stand trial, right? Guess what? The doctor was never provided, the person that was doing the evaluation, they never gave them the medical reports to look at.
That's
he
terrible.
Could not... They never, so just imagine, they did it to my son. There's many, many others out there. There's many, many other Jalen's. There's many, many other Jalen's out there. And And I asked God to show me my purpose after I was arrested. And I believe it is to stand strong and expose the city of Fort Worth, because it's not right. It's not right. You can't do that. You take people's mental illness and you use it against them in a way to harm them, in a way to harm them. But you, but the police department creates mental illnesses because they, if they, trauma.
Thank you.
Anxiety comes from trauma. It comes from, you know, it stems from trauma. It comes from unresolved trauma. But you might have two little daughters who can't even enjoy their childhood because I'm busy dealing, making phone calls, doing what an attorney should do, and or with the, what I, to stand up for my kids and protect my family and make sure we're out of harm's way. Like, I have a son in the TDCJ right now. I can't even go, I can't talk to him because our calls are being recorded. And they're trying to see my every move. And they're trying to lock my son. They took away his show away time. They said he was a menace to society. And my son has never been, he was never supposed to be certified. He can't even get a trade in there. You know why? Because they said that he can't even take the CDL because they said that you did something about your crime. And I said it's an arson charge and a stalking charge, which you were charged with when you were in freaking jail.
Wow.
And I said there's people that murder people that are not going to see the daylight again, but they still can take a trade.
Yeah, that's true.
Y'all, yeah, this shouldn't be happening. Maddie Parker, you wanted the job with the big bucks and the big seat downtown? But you have a responsibility to us, the residents of Fort Worth, to control the police department. And any officer who does not abide by the rules should not be a police officer. That's clear to me. I think it's clear to everybody else. I'm just not sure why it's not clear to the leadership downtown that no police officer should be allowed to harass law-abiding citizens. Or is the police getting their calls from downtown? Are they getting instructions from downtown to harass people? Well, I think, y'all, this is my opinion. When a lawsuit is filed, filed against the city, filed against Maddie Parker, filed against David Cook, filed against Neil Noakes, filed against any police officer involved, because I feel like this, any police officer, they're going to say, well, he doesn't have any money or she doesn't have any money. So they're going to try to hide their assets. So make them ruin their credit filing bankruptcy, but don't let them get off. If you know the name of the police officer, he or she, put them in the lawsuit as well, so that even though you're not going to get a penny from them, make them ruin their credit so that they can't go get anything for a while. I mean, y'all,
right.
there's no other recourse. Name
these all their assets.
Yep.
Yep.
Everything. Make them list their assets and then make them file a bankruptcy to save them. And that way they won't be able to buy no more new cars for a while. It's just not
a good point. Let me say, can I say this?
You,
if they're getting their calls from people, the officers, they, in order for a judge to prosecute, in order for them to prosecute individuals, they need officers out there making false reports. That's how serious it is.
Wow.
I mean, let's talk about.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember Tavis Crane? So Arlington police are just as bad as Fort Worth police. And the crazy thing about it is that they're under the same umbrella of Tarrant County. Mm-hmm. And so Tavis Crane was the young man that was killed by Officer Craig Roper last, I believe it was in 2021. And he lost his life because he was pulled over by a Arlington police officer who accused him of throwing drugs out of the window, but it was really a candy cane wrapper. He had his daughter inside of the car, and Craig Roper crawled on top of him and shot him point blank in his torso three times, killing him in front of his child. Did you know that they came out at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals and said that he didn't qualify for qualified immunity. But why have they not charged him?
And he's still working for the police department.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Y'all, that's what we're dealing with here in Tarrant County.
Y'all, we got to get ready to get out of here tonight. But I just felt like it needed to be said. I really do. I think we didn't have any other options at this particular point other than go public
with our
stories.
But I believe the citizens are tired, too, so.
You think the citizens are what?
The citizens of Fort Worth are tired. They are tired.
Absolutely.
As Tarrant County and are tired. They are very tired, and we are tired. I'm tired. I'm not. No more talking. It's time for us to start. And if you have been victimized by the police, by all means, file that claim with Texas Attorney General. Because Austin needs to know this.
Mm-hmm.
They need to.
And we all need to rise up and fight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard because you're looking at generations of a whole generation of people who were taught to be silenced. So it's hard to break out of that. But now is the time that we must come together.
I want to say to all of those who are saying to the officers, thank you for your service, and not all cops are bad cops. But I say this, if you're a good cop, stand up and tell on the bad cops.
That part.
When you keep saying there's not, I'm sure, and I'm 100% certain, not all cops are bad cops, but are you really a good cop if you won't stand up and tell that you see another cop doing something that you know is not right? Because they're always telling the residents that you should see something, tell, you know, if you see something, tell. But you don't hear any officers telling on other officers. So are you really living by what you're telling other people to do. So, y'all, it is what it is. But I thank Tara Rice and Lizzie for telling their stories tonight because y'all don't know how hard it is to come forward and talk about something like this because most people, you know, it has not been their experience. And so when you tell them your story, it's easy for them to immediately dismiss it because, again, who would believe that police who carry badges and guns and are supposed to be upholding the law are actually breaking the law? So I thank both of those ladies for telling their stories tonight. We thank you, the listener, for listening. We ask you next time to bring a friend. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a coworker to check out the show. As we do this every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Also, if you have a product, a service, a nonprofit, or a business, consider advertising right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth. We can help you get the word out. Also, y'all, listen, if you like what we do here, consider donating to the show. We have some big plans for the future, and we want you to help us get there. So if you like what we do, consider donating to us. Our app is on our Facebook page, and we're on Facebook under Let's Talk Fort Worth. That page is always popping, always something new being updated on there. So check out the Let's Talk Fort Worth page on a daily basis because there's always something new being posted over there. Also, y'all, keep it locked right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. as we tell you exactly what's going on downtown. Until next week.